Welcome to art.
Wah, wah, wah.
With
Fiona Verity.
Say it again.
Fiona?
No.
Fiona Verity.
And Julie Nicholson. Welcome to episode 15 of Art with artist Sharon Candy. Thank you, Sharon, for talking to us. You were a delight. We learned a lot about her abstract practice, the galleries she's shown at. We learned about her, the way that she approaches a painting. It was great for me, as Fiona's always pointing out. I obviously need to learn much more.
No, you don't.
Can you tell Julie what she needs to know, because she's hopeless?
No.
And Sharon told me a lot.
She does. You're making me out to be horrible now. No, I've done a few more shows than you, but I'm still not getting anywhere. Whereas you're just starting out. You're younger than me, Julie.
Not that much younger.
You are.
Anyway, Sharon was a delight.
She was.
And it was great to see what she's up
absolutely.
To.
And she's done some, you know, her pathway has been fantastic. So she started off doing lots of small local shows, and now she's represented by a gallery, which is what we want.
That's all we've ever wanted.
It's all we've ever wanted.
And she's got a show coming up in December at Art to Muse in Double Bay. So we're going to try and go. And
we're going.
Maybe we'll get a few more people to interview at the show.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, happy listening. Please rate and review and share.
Share.
Thank you so much. Bye.
It's only a audio record. Although, you're looking so glamorous. I wish it was a
video. Look, I did glam for you, honey. I thought I've been in my trackies for so long. I thought I better glam.
Taking a photo for Instagram. I'm Julie, by the way. Yeah, nice to meet you, Sharon.
Hi, Julie.
Thank you so much for agreeing to do the podcast. It's very kind of you.
Oh, my pleasure, honey. I've been listening to both of you. You're both gorgeous.
Bless you.
You work off each other so well.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, someone's got to cancel her out, Sharon. Yeah.
This is true.
You're too much.
I know. She's very good at shutting me up, which is why telling me what to do. I love our introduction. It just makes me laugh every time I edit a podcast and I hear her going, no, say it again. Fiona Verity.
Actually, both of you reminded me a bit of, who was it, Hamish and Andy the other day. You know how they just talk about absolute rubbish?
Yes. Yes.
I know. Love it. That's us.
That.
We are. That's why it's called Art Wank, because we just talk
a lot.
Yeah.
No, not at all. So we would like to kick off with...
Hello, honey.
How would you describe yourself as an artist?
Oh, gosh. I never did fine arts. So I find it hard to even call myself an artist. But if I would say very, probably more abstract expressionist, sort of that sort of feel to as an artist. Because I hate anything that's too realistic.
Yeah, okay.
And predominantly a painter. This is for our listeners. I know what you are, but our listeners don't necessarily know.
Yeah.
So, always a painter?
Always a painter. Even a graphic designer, first of all. So that's why I think a lot of my work has got very flat surfaces. I think it's got a lot to do with being a graphic designer.
Yeah.
And also I'm always looking for that pattern or shape or form or line or, yeah. So I think it's all, stems from that.
So you said you didn't study, but did you go to art college to do graphic design?
Yeah, I actually ended up doing TAFE at Hornsby.
Okay.
I had a child with me and I did graphic design for 3 years with the child.
Because
I was so determined to do it. So
Good on you. That's awesome. Yeah. I didn't realise that.
Yeah, with a baby in tow. It was hysterical. They had a crèche though, so it was awesome. It was really good.
Yeah, it's such a shame TAFE doesn't do the creative things now.
Oh,
it's
no.
Such a strain, I think, because if you want to study now, going to art school is a huge commitment, whereas with TAFE you can dip your toe in. Or you could do a cert 3 or something and then go, okay, I want to do more. It's so frustrating. I don't know how we get the government to pull their fingers out and put things back on.
Yeah, but also having the creche there too was just, like, it was amazing.
Yeah,
because we have mature age students that missed out on doing it when they were younger, and then you could take, you know, your children there. No, they'd just be literally just outside the TAFE. You knew they were well cared for. You could see them at lunchtime. You could do whatever. It was just perfect.
And were they, was the creche connected to the child studies?
No,
it wasn't. Because I actually did my teaching at TAFE when I was pregnant with my first. So I had my baby with me. But it was much easier because he was still in my belly.
Yeah.
And I loved it. Yeah. I loved being at TAFE. It's such a great place.
That was awesome. And I had all the surfy dudes from the Northern Beaches.
Yeah.
And they were just beautiful. Like, they were just so welcoming, and I'm going, here am I, this mum, nobody's got anything to do with me, and they were just all gorgeous.
Yeah. So what made you transition into painting, and when did you?
I've always pretty much painted, on the side. Always did life drawing and anything like that on the side while I was working, but graphic design was great when the kids were little, so I could do it at home while they were babies. And then I sort of painted on the side as well. And then when they got to a certain age, I then started doing painting full time. So,
Did you have were you at home then, like kitchen studio or?
Yeah. Like pretty much what I am at the moment. So because I'm sort of at home, seeing the background and then you've got the kitchen in there. So it's pretty much what I'm doing at the moment.
You feel like everyone's in a circle.
So do you normally have a studio away from home?
Yeah, there's studios at, it's one of the studios at Me Art Space with Debbie McKinnon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've got some beautiful other artists there's Mike Staniford as well and Chrissy Lloyd. And also there's Viv with Start Art School as well there. So we've got such a gorgeous little community there. It works really well.
Yeah, it is. It's an awesome space. So you started showing, Sharon, if I'm correct, from our research.
Yeah.
You started off with some of the local shows, the sort of King's, the Linfield and St Thomas's. Do you reckon they're a good entry point for emerging artists to try and get a foothold in the community?
Yeah, I think they are, especially unfortunately it's not on anymore, but Balmain had a fantastic one, and they were so many people word of mouth started finding out about me. Like, it was just crazy. And I just sort of look at them like they're a bit weird. They go, oh, you're Sharon Candy. And I go, what the fuck? What's that?
You have such a great name, though. I love you.
Oh, I know.
I think it's a real artist's name, you know, Sharon Candy.
It's a pole dancing name, honey. You know, it's
I didn't like to say it could also be a porn star name, but you know,
it is. It's terrible.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
It's an easy one to remember.
It is an easy one to remember. It rolls off the tongue nicely.
So you've entered a lot of art prizes in the past.
Yeah.
Like, how do you find those? How do you find the rejection sometimes? And obviously when you get in, like, do you think that's a good way to go, entering art prizes, or what do you think of them?
I think it's really good for your resume. So people, if they're looking at your art and they don't know anything about you, they can have a look and they can see where you've come from and, you know, where your art's been accepted. And also, if you've been in an art prize, the word finalist looks really good on the side. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't think it's the be-all and end-all because so many of the judges and the art shows, some of them I find personally, it's very selective who they want. And I think you honestly have to have, you can't get too hurt by it.
No.
If they don't like it, they don't like it. Like, you know, move off.
Have you already, you've done well, Sharon. You've been in some great ones, the Mossman Art Prize. Yeah, some really, really prestigious ones. And, you know, you've earned your place there. But do you, how do you deal with the not getting in?
Because rejection. It's shit. It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is. Let's face it. It's horrible.
It is. No, I agree. I mean, I've been rejected so many times to art prizes. It's not funny. And even rejected when I've been given a grant of a lot of money from Warringah Council. And then the same year they rejected me for the art prize. And I'm like, this is a poxy little council art prize.
It's ridiculous.
What the? Anyway, it is what it is, isn't it?
Let's face it, I think, though, unfortunately, with the art prizes, you have to have your name in them to get more corporate look in. Like, if somebody really wants to start collecting your artwork, I think that's what you have to do. You have to do the art prizes.
So which one have you not conquered yet that you'd like?
I would love Paddington.
I was going to say Paddington. I don't know why you haven't got in Paddington.
And I'd love the win prize, though. I've only entered that twice.
I mean, I even think the experience of going and putting your work in for the win,
No, it's actually great. I loved it. And I actually delivered one artwork where it was just huge. And this guy was looking at me as I was struggling with this bloody artwork, and they were laughing at me on the loading dock. I'm just going, come and help me.
Don't laugh at me. Yeah, little Sharon with that enormous painting. Was it that diptych that you did? Yes, I know the piece. That was so heavy, that painting. Yeah,
it was. And I was actually really loved it, and I was really proud of it. Yeah. And actually, one of the artworks in the win prize, not that I was as good as that, but it was exactly the same colours, nearly, do you know what I mean? Yeah, the nice big landscape. My mum goes, that could have been yours. And
this is it.
And that's right, it could have been yours. I suppose that's it. It's so close. And it's also subjective, isn't it?
It is. But you just got to keep chipping away, I guess. Keep chipping away and keep putting them in, and if you get in, you know, bring it on. So your work is predominantly abstract, but not representational. But would you say you're a landscape painter? Or how did you get your influence from? How do you begin?
How do I begin? Basically, the same as most people, plein air sketches is a big thing. I do a lot of off photographs as well, only because as the kids, I find it really hard to get a lot of time to actually do a lot of plein air sketching. So I do a lot of reference as well. But the main thing I do is, especially, I have all that reference, but then I will go to my canvas and I basically won't do it straight from the photo because I just find that too restrictive. Yeah. And then, as Fee can actually tell you, I paint over things so many times until I'm happy, until I can start until it starts speaking to me and I know I'm on the right track.
Yeah.
So you've got a lot of layers and glazes and thick paint, thin paint.
Look, I love it. And I love sometimes your artworks just snap and they work first time. Others I can go over and over and over. Everyone in the studio just shake their head at me because I drive them crazy.
It's part of the journey. That's what I love about your work, Sharon. It's like it's your journey. They're your decisions. And if you want to keep going, you will. So,
Do you find it handy, though, at the Me Art Space, having other people to go and say, what do you think? You know, what do you think about another layer? Should I take this bit out? Is that helpful?
Yeah, look, we're all really, as Fee knows, we're all very considerate to each other, but very supportive at the same time. We don't seem to have any jealousy. It's awesome. So you can go up to each other, say, come in, what do you think? And, you know, talk things through. Yeah. But if, you know, they're saying go in one direction, I just go, don't think so. Like, they know I won't do it. Like, they'll do, but it's nice to talk about it.
Yeah, definitely.
It's nice to have that banter. Like, you don't get that at home. You don't. And I think that's the best thing about Me Art Space is we have other artists come in and you get to talk to other people all the time. And we do, we talk, sort of critique each other, but at the same time, we're not pushing anyone in any direction.
No, and you all very much keep yourselves to yourselves, and you all work really hard, and you all
and
turn
we've
up.
We've got a very specific style.
Yeah.
So we don't tend to cross over, which is actually quite good.
Yeah, considering you're all landscape abstract painters, it's you do all have a very distinct style.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Yeah, mine's probably the least realistic, where I tend to be getting further and further more abstract and just looking for that emotional pull into your artwork more than it being the realistic scene that's in front of you.
Yeah. So who influences you? So your work has got more and more abstract.
Look, absolutely. And you can there's so many artists, like I've sort of look at so many people, but I love, you know, Cecily Brown, I love Richard Diebenkorn, I love William de Kooning, I love Degas, Matisse, I love, you know, but it's that mixture of all of their, even Mark Rothko, like the way his colour speaks to you more than the actual scene itself. Like, I think that's just amazing. And the emotional moods that you get from just looking at a piece and just having, you know, it's just gets into your emotions and everyone interprets it differently. It's just beautiful. I love it.
Yeah.
And so you paint mainly on board, not canvas. Is that right?
Look, I've been painting on board for years and I love it because it's that hard, earthy feeling and it's quite flat feeling as well. It's great.
Yeah, I like
it. Okay, honey. Sorry, guys.
That's all right.
Remember, we had the artist we interviewed last week, we had a long chat with her dog.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. Kevin.
Oh, yeah, Kev.
We loved Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin was a total
That's
play.
Okay. That's what happens on Zoom.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We love a bit of...
Yeah, I like painting on boards too. There's like, you can scratch back in and I find sometimes canvas can get like, I don't know, I've been painting on really thick paper. I think sometimes canvas doesn't, I don't know, it sort of takes away from what you're trying to do maybe.
Yeah. The hardest thing I find is that because the bigger I get, The boards are so heavy, Julie.
That's
I can't
true.
Literally, and I've done my back so many times now, I'm going back to canvas.
Yeah,
because I just have to.
Like, interesting.
It's easier to
see how you go with it. Well, Julie and I both work on the unstretched canvas when we do work on canvas. We find that really good because then...
Well, we can take it back and forth to art school.
Yeah.
But also it's find it like then you can crop it.
Yeah.
And then obviously it's for storage purposes. You can just roll it up. It's a lot easier. And then you can stretch the ones you want to.
Yeah.
That works quite well.
Yeah. I must
admit, like the bounce of canvas when it's on a stretcher. I don't know. It just gives me the two-tone.
Yeah. I just find the, when it's on the roll, I find it really hard to keep it up. Do you find that? Like, it's just, for some reason, my space isn't that good to actually.
I just nail it up. Yeah. I know what you mean. Look, it's not as easy. I think that our art teacher said you should work on a roll to a certain point and then stretch it because it actually changes the way the painting looks as when you stretch it. So up to a point that you know you're going to continue with it, then stretch it. So
Get halfway and then stretch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know. Well, I think I sort of, because I've got less time in the studio than most, even though I'm working like at least 5 days a week, I just find I don't have enough time. And when I do get in there, I just want to get on with it straight away. So I don't want to be fiddling around. Though I do love the idea with the smaller ones to do the straight onto the roll canvas.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do love that instant feel. It's solid. I can move it around. I'm not worried about where to put it because I don't have enough space in the studio at the moment. But, you know.
Yeah.
Well, no, it's a bit like your handbag though, isn't it? It's like, it doesn't matter how big it is.
Oh, absolutely. I'd like a big warehouse.
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
It's
crazy. How do you come up with the titles of your paintings? Do you think of them as you're painting them or do you have that in your mind when you're at the beginning?
Look, I have that in my mind when when you're painting, but half the time I'm really bad at naming them. It's almost like a, you know, yeah. It's like a
I
lucky
don't think you are. This is my favourite one.
I know.
I have the little postcard here.
We'll put it on Instagram so the listeners can hear, won't we,
Faye? Where the Water Falls.
That's a nice title, Sharon, Where the Water Falls.
It's a great title.
Was that from a sketch from a waterfall, perhaps?
It was. Julie, thank you.
She's very quick.
I'm astute.
She's very quick.
That was actually from when we were travelling around Darwin, like in Kakadu. It was just beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, you've definitely got those beautiful overview.
Yeah, and the waterfalls
love that painting.
The waterfalls were just everywhere. Like, I just couldn't get them out of my head. I painted them over and over and over. It was crazy.
Was that the piece that got into the Mossman?
No, that was actually the piece that got into the Gosford.
Gosford, that was it. Okay. Yeah, I knew it was an art prize one.
So when you start a painting from your sketches, do you sort of just get paint, start going, you don't sketch anything first?
I might sketch with some charcoal.
Okay.
And also just paint like a sketch just on there with a lighter color or black even. I love putting the black down. I love having that sort of that really definite line and thinking the shadows, sort of putting them into place to start with. And also with me, it's sort of the black underneath the colours too, those layers, it tends to come through.
Yeah.
I pretty much just throw myself into it, Julie. It's just like the black, the charcoal, and then I'll go in with the colour. And then it just, where my mood takes me, I'll just go with it.
So you haven't planned the colour, you're just intuitive colour next to colour. You know, are you mixing the colour first or straight, mixing as you go?
Some of the backgrounds I might not mix, but the others definitely I mix.
Yeah.
Like I have, like, you know, mixing in the raw umber into colours. That's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Or the raw sienna with some with black, where you get these amazing khaki colours. And I love it. I think you have to.
You have to. If you use paint just straight from the tube, it's too jarring.
Mm.
It's never that just that right colour either.
No.
Do you find that?
Yeah.
And you need to have it to flow with your other colours. So you tend to mix those other colours that you've used into the next colour just to get that real feel.
So have you always used, you're an acrylic fan, Sharon. Have you always used acrylic or did you play?
Always used acrylic. Yeah. I actually keep thinking I will try doing the oil. Would love to do the oil. But I'm really impatient.
Don't go there then.
The oils are so hard to dry.
Yeah, and I did try it. So I always painted acrylic and then I did some oil for a bit and I loved it. I must admit, the colours are divine.
Yeah.
But like you, I'm too impatient and I would make a muddy mess because they weren't ready to be worked on again and I would jump in and, I love acrylic.
Yeah. And also the thing is, I've seen maybe do the bottom layers in acrylic.
Yeah, definitely.
Come back.
Exactly. But you do oil sticks, don't
you? Yeah, that's how because I used to paint with oil and I've come back, I paint in acrylic, but the oil sticks are just such a fab way to get your oils in there without going back to painting with oils. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Absolutely. But I would love to actually start doing oils on top of the acrylic soon.
I'd love to
experiment with that and start doing it.
I've got the most delicious oil stick here that's in an iridescent bronze colour.
Oh.
But it's so squashy. It's like chocolate that's been out in the sun that I just don't know how I'm going to use it. It's like...
It's a palette knife on.
Yeah. But look at that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... I love bronze.
Yeah. Again...
Where did you get that one from, Fee?
I got it from Parker's.
Oh, beautiful.
It's absolutely gorgeous, but it's like, it's a bit, you know, it's just so nice. I'm like,
use it.
Yeah, I will.
I want to go and get Parker's the long brushes. Like, you know, the 2 foot long brushes and have them.
Yeah, but you
I've taped a few on some 2x4 bits of wood and just mask, you know, tape them on, brush on the end and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm doing that at the moment, but I'd still love to get a few.
Yes, that would be nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, they're gorgeous.
And we wanted to ask you about the shows you've had at Art to Muse in Double Bay.
Yeah.
How did they come about? And, you know, what did you...
Look, I was so lucky with Art to Muse. I turned around and I actually emailed them and turned around and said, look, would love to show my artwork there. As everyone approaches the galleryist, and it was hard to do because you get so many knockbacks, but I was lucky and she turned around and someone had actually turned around and dropped out. So then she said to me, okay, November. So basically I was just dropped into that place.
Oh,
yeah. So luckily I had enough, but I wasn't sure about what, you know, the artworks, but I thought if I don't do this.
Yeah. You're not gonna, yeah. So how many months did you have? How many months?
You basically need about 12 because mine are quite large. Like the smallest would be probably about 60 by 60.
Yeah.
And then the rest of them would be like up to 2.5 meters. So you need a mix and you need enough to go in the windows that go back to back. But I've been really lucky there. Like very, very lucky actually. Katrina Hampton is just been fantastic. She's really supportive and gorgeous.
Yeah. It's a great gallery. She has some fantastic people.
Oh, look, she's got great connections too.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah,
like with the magazines and stuff.
Yes. Yeah, so would you say that, actually, that was our next question.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry.
Don't you worry. You just, that's a beautiful segue into... So you've had some great publicity. In fact, every time I'm in the checkout line and I read House and Garden and I'm like, oh, Sharon Caddy.
They're very small, though. They're very small.
You're in there, girlfriend.
I know. I can't complain. I've been really lucky. And I've had some really lovely designers that like my work, which always helps. I just feel like hopefully I can keep that up. I don't know how long it'll happen for, but I'm very grateful for it at the moment.
Well, it's because your work is strong, Sharon. It's not luck. You'll keep using this luck word, but think it's...
You know what it's like? It's like you...
It is a bit of a lottery, but I think you've got to have the strong work.
I always think my artwork was too different from other people's, but I think that's actually good. You've got a different artwork. Yeah.
Definitely. And your work is very, what's the word? I don't know how to... when you see your work in those great publications, House and Garden, I mean, I look at those houses and I think, wow, you know, they're amazing. And obviously they've been styled to the nth.
Absolutely.
But your work fits in lots of different looks.
Yeah.
So you could be in a period Paddington Terrace and you could put your work in there, or you could be in a beach house in Palm Beach and your work still works. So it's not that it's going to sound really condescending if I say it sort of works in every place, but it's got that... It's very strong. When I think for me, it's it can really set off a room. Whereas I think a lot of abstract art people struggle with, they don't understand it and they're frightened of it. Maybe, I don't know.
I've had clients actually, two of them like that have had asked me for commissions, then they'll turn around and say to me, "Where you're the only one we've both agreed on." Because one of them likes realistic, one of them likes abstract. So I've been that in between. You can still see something that's familiar. You can still see something that's actually everyone gets a response from you know, has seen it in some scenery or landscape somewhere.
Yeah.
So I've been really lucky that way. And I think that's important. Like, you've got to love your artwork. Like, it's
absolutely true. That's right. You've got to.
I think that's the most important thing. If someone does get a trigger from it, if someone can't get any response from an artwork,
I think you put yourself into your work, and I think, you know, any good chef, artist, singer, you know, it's the same thing. It's like you have to put that yourself into your work.
Oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
You're a very warm and generous character.
Oh, Fee,
you are. You're one of my favourite people.
Oh, baby, thank you.
I love having a Sharon hug. But no, seriously, you are. Yeah. And that's what comes through to me with your work. And I think because I've seen you for years, because, you know, I'm always being ridiculous collaborating with Debbie in the next studio.
Oh, it's nice. It's
and I've enjoyed watching your journey over the years of how you've developed and grown and changed, and your work's got stronger and stronger and stronger.
Yeah.
And then, you know, to the point of like, I really want that painting, but then somebody else bought it, which is annoying.
So thank you, Fee.
That's yours.
That sounds pretty cool. But look, I must admit, I think it's like anything. I think we all put our own style into our artwork. Like Fee, you do. Julie, yours is beautiful too. Like I've seen your work. It's gorgeous.
I think you have to. And I think that's when people say, how do you describe yourself and what do you do? And I say, you know, and I think this is why a lot of it is why Julie and I are doing this podcast, is because this is our life. This is what we love. This is why we get up in the morning. I am so obsessed with art.
I get up for my breakfast.
Do you?
Yeah.
I'm with Julie. I'm up for my breakfast too.
Thank you, Sharon.
You too. Dropped.
Hey, listen, but don't you, I think like you guys too, like you, we absorb though, where we want to learn more.
Yeah,
where a lot of people don't do that.
Yes. No,
I love learning more. I love soaking it up. I love learning from the old masters, and I love learn. Like I'm obsessed with de Kooning's colors at the moment because he's got these amazing colors that I feel like they're timeless.
Yeah.
Like they're not outdated. Like they're still very much exactly the same vibrancy, and it talks to you just as much as it did when he was painting them. Like I don't know. I'm a real color person. A lot of people aren't, but I just love color, and especially the way it speaks to you is like the most important thing to me.
Yeah,
definitely.
And you do have to keep learning, because otherwise, I think it shows in your work that it becomes boring to you and boring for everyone else. Like, and I don't know, I just don't think you can ever stop learning till you mark it, because otherwise would you get any further?
Well, look at so many artists that, you know, so Guy Warren is a wonderful contemporary Australian artist who Debbie and Mike have spent a bit of time with. He's been to shows at Me Art Gallery, and he's what, 90? He's in his 90s and he's still showing and still, and he said to Debbie and Mike at their last show, the best thing you can do is remain curious.
Yeah.
He said, that's his advice to, I think Mike said, you know, what's your top tip? And he said, remain curious. And I think that's such a powerful statement, because it does, it fires you. It keeps you wanting to show up every day and make a better painting.
Yeah.
Or fix that painting or resolve that work that's been getting on your
tits.
On your tits.
But you've got, with artists, I think also, well, I know with me is like if I finish an artwork and then I'll go, happy with it. But you go, I can do better than that.
Yeah.
Like you're constantly just pushing yourself.
That's right.
And even if you, as Fee said, workshops and stuff, even just speaking to other artists, if you learn one little thing, like it's fantastic.
Yeah.
Like it's actually that journey, and you put it towards your work.
We've both signed up for the National Art School's online course, which is going to be next term. What are you doing?
I'm doing like a mentor class. I just, all those little, because we can't really do the art school thing at the moment with kids and where we live, so just these little workshops every now and again, you learn so much from every bits and bobs.
And I think it's fantastic that the National Art School is, I love doing short courses there. I love doing weekend workshops in drawing, and you know, I can never get enough of it. And what is great is that they're adapting their short course program to COVID times.
Yeah.
And it's really reasonable, and it's going to be 6 weeks, I think, and it's a long session. I wanted to do the one that Julie's doing, but I'm teaching because it's on a Friday. So I'm doing the Saturday one, which is going to be all about understanding the mindfulness behind drawing from your imagination.
Wow, that'd be really interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Mm. And I just think, you know, you never know where that's going to take your practice.
Maybe you need to do online courses, Sharon.
That might look, I tell you what, I would love that, because like I do find, even though I've got teenagers now and one's even left home, I do find it's really hard to get that time. It's really hard. And I love workshops. I go to workshops and I soak up everything from meeting artists to learning techniques to, you know, I just love it.
Would you host one yourself though online?
Look, I'm not a great teacher. I don't think I'd be good.
You could just do a demo and people would pay and watch, I'm sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Do
it in your fishbowl studio. Sharon's got the glass box studio.
So in some ways it's actually quite nice being home because it's quite big and open. But it's, as we all know, it's very distracting being at home too.
Oh, it's ridiculous. You know. Yeah. I get so distracted. I'm always...
I've had my daughter down here looking at dogs for the last 2 hours, and I said, "Yeah, great, thanks, honey." Instead of doing work.
Yeah, exactly.
Looking at dogs.
Social media.
Are you dog shopping?
No, look, we're not. You know, Banjo. Yeah. This is Julie. We had a beautiful Labrador, and he passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know we're a bit heartbroken.
He was so beautiful.
He was so beautiful, but. We're also missing having that beautiful, like having a dog. So we're thinking in September when it's warmer, when it's
easier. Yeah, definitely. Do you know all that pedal? Are you going to get a puppy or?
I'll probably, but don't
pedal on the floor.
Yeah. Let's not spread it because my husband keeps saying, "No, we're not going to get a dog now. Leave it."
So, you need to get back to the question.
I want him to come to the studio too.
Yeah, nothing better than a studio animal.
That's true. So we wanted to ask about your website and getting sales from the website.
Yeah.
Do you have a newsletter, a marketing plan? Like how do you market yourself?
Look, I don't. I don't have a marketing plan.
I love your honesty. Good. Come on. Not at all. Some bullshit. You have a website, and you can purchase from your website, can't you?
Yeah. So I do. I have had people purchase from my website. I actually had a gorgeous purchase the other day, where I went to a dermatologist who was, you know, burning my skin. And next thing, Pete turned around and told me he bought 3 artworks.
Oh,
I know. He just looked up my website and bought them online that night.
He's clearly charging you too much money to burn your skin off.
Exactly.
I think so.
Right. I love it. You never know where you're going to get a sale, do you?
I think you just have to have the options open for people to buy whenever
they
want to. Yeah.
It just gives them more of a choice. And also, I think having on my Instagram, I don't have the prices. And I think sometimes maybe I should, because people like to know what they're up for. They like to know
that's right.
How much an artwork costs before. And if, you know, and either they can afford it or they can't. They can move on. It's one of those things where I think with the website, because I've got the artworks listed in the shop, it's nice and easy.
Exactly. But then they don't have to. I think customers sometimes, or people, don't want to get embarrassed by asking and then going, bloody hell. Or
it makes it more approachable, doesn't it? Everyone's,
Absolutely. I'm always a bit surprised that they don't want to see the artwork in person.
We were talking to someone else about that, Jess Watts. But she said everyone gets such a lovely surprise when they get it. They love it more than the photo. Yeah,
absolutely. I think you always will, luckily.
Yeah.
It is a lot better every time they get that artwork. So
definitely.
And everyone's so used to seeing things on screens. And the photo quality is so good these days. I think there's not a huge difference.
Yeah. I'd love to update my website, but that'll be something in the future. Yeah. Like I just,
yeah, it's always one of those.
Maybe
jobs.
Before you get that puppy, Sharon.
Yeah. Yes.
So when you started selling, Sharon, there was no social media. You were just talking about your Instagram. So yep. Instagram started in 2010, I think. And say what?
Thanks, Pete.
Sorry, I wasn't saying you're old. We're all old. We're all old, Sharon. Don't you worry. Can you not make us say how lovely we look? I've got the filter on the Zoom so it gets...
Oh, my God. Someone showed me that the other day. I was laughing. I couldn't believe you could get filter.
I love it. Makes me feel better because if I actually had to look at my wrinkly face, it'd be quite depressing. But because there was no social media when you were showing like in 2006... do you think it's easier now for artists, or do you think it's harder with social media to promote ourselves? Because sometimes I think there's too much, and there's the pressure of, I'm working on a new series at the moment, and I'm quite enjoying this COVID time of, I've actually completely backed off and gone, can't, not doing it, not showing anything. I want to just put my head down and work. And then when it's ready, I'll let it out.
I bet you will.
I will let it out. I will let it out.
Watch out for that one.
No, it's so hard, isn't it, nowadays to...
Yeah, but Fee, that's, I think, because most of the Instagram and most of the marketing, it's other artists. Do you know what I mean? That we're showing, which isn't, they're not the ones buying your art.
Well, they are though. Artists buy art, Sharon.
Yeah, but not, they're not your main purchaser. So I think you've got to stop worrying about what other artists feel.
Yeah.
And what they, I think it's lovely to have that connection and to get
the friendship. Community. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting.
But I think it's more marketing towards, you know, you're looking at the designers, the architects, the corporate art consultants, even overseas.
Yeah.
But see, I would first look up someone's Instagram if I saw an artist and I wanted to buy, rather than their website.
Yeah.
I would straight go on Instagram. And if they weren't on Instagram, I don't know. Everyone sort of is, aren't they, these days?
Yeah.
I think they're saying at art college that everyone should be on Instagram. I don't know if it makes any difference. I know artists are not Instagram and they're represented by a gallery, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was listening to Emily Emerson, who Julie and I, the last show that we saw before the COVID shutdown, we went to St. Cloche and saw Emily's beautiful, absolutely beautiful show. So she's just done a 2-year trip around Australia and has painted off her, she's literally whacked the canvas onto the side of her.
No, it's beautiful.
Dreamy. And she is, her interview with Maria on Talking With Painters is fantastic. A real insight into what a gentle soul she is and how she just is the antithesis of her work. You know, she sort of goes, she does the Instagram thing, but you can tell it irks her because it's against, well, not against, but it's not part of her very wholesome ethos.
Yeah.
But I guess you've got to be in it. But I think you don't have to be posting 24/7, is the important thing. It's just a little bit.
But I think it's one of those things, you're either full on, like if you're teaching or if you're doing workshops, I think then that's probably important.
Yeah.
I think as an artist personally, as you were talking about, I don't think that's the main thing is Instagram. I don't think the marketing's important. It's when you're actually got an exhibition, that's when you want to get people to notice you. And that's when you need to get it out there. Mm-hmm. But most of the most reputable artists I know don't have websites. They're all through the galleries.
That's right. Exactly.
What do you think about, you know, with the new COVID world, how do you think that's going to affect? So you've got a show coming up in November.
Yeah.
At Art to Muse. I'm sure everything will be okay by then. But have you had any conversations with the gallery, or has she sort of fed back to you about what might happen if, you know, things are...
I actually have. I've spoken to Katrina about it, and she's actually said they're still continuing the way they always have. Because they basically, their consulting is only having one person in the gallery at the time.
Yes.
They've actually had a lot of overseas purchases, which is fantastic.
Yep.
And even the openings, the same thing. They're just not doing huge openings, but they're still continuing with the openings. So, but as you said, I think they've got a lot more online marketing. So they will have the viewing of all the artworks in the gallery, basically online. So it's just a virtual tour going through the works, and that's very important. But I think most galleries are doing that now anyway.
Yeah, true.
I noticed even some of the galleries are propping people's artworks up just in situ on the screen, like Photoshopped it in, instead of actually having them in the gallery.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Really?
Which really, it doesn't make any difference, does it? I mean, you can see it in situ and it's...
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't like that so much, Julie. I don't know if it's...
Well, I like to see
I wouldn't know any difference sometimes.
No, like, you would.
But it's like having a virtual look at a gallery. Like, you don't know any difference, really.
Well, I quite like the ones I've seen where you see the gallerist actually walking you through the exhibition.
But it's actually hung.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think that's part of it. I mean, that's me being romantic. I want to see my body of work all hung up together. It's a bit like, you know, you've done all the rehearsals and then you come to the final performance and, you know, you want, it's like, it's your babies. You want to see them.
Absolutely. I totally agree. But at the same time, can you imagine the amount of, you know, not having, delivering all that artwork?
I know. Exactly.
It would be fantastic not having to worry to get it to, you know, Perth somewhere, you know. From
Sydney. That's true. That's true. It has made everyone realise that we can work.
Yeah. But I think, you know, physical will come back and hanging, but it also a virtual hang and to get out to more people is always a good thing.
And didn't Australia win the virtual Eurovision Song Contest?
Yeah. Did that? I didn't know.
Yeah. I think we...
Glad you've told us
the
that.
The virtual...
Heard it first here.
Yeah. Australia won. I can't believe you didn't know that, Julie.
I had no idea. I'm so glad I didn't know that, Fee. Oh,
so we wanted to know... The last thing we wanted to know was, I love the title of your upcoming show, Never Too Literal.
Yep.
That's gold.
Oh, well...
Explain that.
It's pretty much me.
I love it, though. I just love it. It's bloody brilliant.
What do you mean by it?
I am very much a gut instinct person. I just go with emotions. Mm. And as my family would say, and my husband, who's an accountant, who's totally opposite to me, it drives them crazy. But, you know, that's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
The spark, of course.
Absolutely. Definitely. So that's pretty much me. And it's the same way I work. It's the same way I treat landscapes. It's not exactly what I see. It's trying to look past that, trying to look at something that I'm feeling and the emotions it brings me. And that's particularly in the colours and the lines and the way I apply the work with emotions and just, it's just, literally, I just hate being too literal because it's, I could come out with anything. You don't know. It's just basically what I feel is my gut instinct, how that artwork should look like.
Yeah. And you're going to stop. Yeah. So, and the other thing we want to ask you is I've got here my frame's broken. So don't judge me. I just need to get a new frame. So I've just got them in the glass. My Sharon.
Oh, you're very cute. Mm-hmm. The postcards. The
beautiful postcards that I purchased from the postcard show last year at Me Art Space. So we were just talking about how the little things are, no, not little things, the Northern Beaches
Art Prize
this year is going to be a postcard.
Oh, wow.
So I think, great, what a fantastic.
And it's going to be online.
Yeah.
Virtual online.
Virtual online, so they're not going to have an exhibition.
That was such a good thing to do last year.
The postcard show. But Julie and I were just discussing what we're going to put in for it. And she said...
You're going to put in one of Sharon's postcards?
No, I'm not going to put him on a charity. But I could for. Well, no, I was. We were just discussing how to work small, and yeah. Julie said abstract is so hard.
Yeah, I find small. It really hard to do abstract small.
Do you have any advice for Julie on, because me, I love my little one.
No, Julie, I don't have any advice because I find it just as hard as you.
Yeah.
If you give me a big canvas, I'm in heaven.
Yeah.
But you give me something small and actually doing workshops with other, take them away. doing other workshops with other artists, I continually ask the same thing. What do you do? And they say, treat it just like your large artwork.
Okay.
So what do you do? Basically use a brush? Use a smaller brush?
No, just with your big brushes.
Really? So
But it depends on what you paint. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
if you're doing these beautiful landscapes, but because mine are so much, so they are more abstract and more expression in them.
Yeah.
The brushes, to me, that relates. So I could do that with the brush marks.
Yeah.
I find it extremely difficult to do.
I think you quickly ruin it when they're small.
Well, you don't want it to make it look like you've cropped something out of a big work. Like, it has to work in that small space, and that's what I find hard. Because when you look at something on an iPhone that you've done a big of, it works.
Yeah.
But when you paint small, it's hard. Do you know what I mean? It's bizarre.
Absolutely. I find the same thing when I do large artworks. Exactly the same. And even vice versa. Like, I do something, work small. But
yeah, then you try and work it up, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things. I think the more you do it, the more you can develop a sense of what's going to work and what's not.
Yeah.
And really, you can basically turn around and frame anything to get an idea about how it's going to work. But I tend to think, especially with the smaller artworks, I sort of think they need more layers as well.
Yeah.
Because as you were saying, it's just so easy to ruin one.
Yeah.
But if you've got different layers and you've got, it gives it more depth and it actually gives it a little bit more interest. Well, for me anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to get the collage in there because then you can really, you know. Yeah. And then if all else fails, you put one of Sharon's in.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Put a bit of collage in the Sharon's.
So when is the postcard, when's that due?
I don't know, I just saw it on Instagram. We'll put it in the show notes, Sharon, I'm not sure.
I think it's June.
Like that, yeah, August.
So yeah, normally you have to put in for it. But you're not five ones in.
Are you girls going to enter the, you're entering the Paddington Art Show this year?
I've never entered the Paddington. I can't even get in the Northern Beaches. How am I going to get into the
Paddington? I can barely get in the studio at the moment, let alone bloody enter an art prize, Sharon.
You two are too busy.
No, we are too busy. But
when the kids go back to school, we'll be back in. I'm just pottering because I can't concentrate. It's just too much going on.
So when are your kids going back to school?
Well, they're one day again this week, and then next week I think it's 2 days, and the week after maybe full time. But I'm trying to encourage them to go back anyway because I'm done. But anyway, we'll see. It's an excuse. It's just hard to. I don't know. I feel like I've got toddlers again where they're so overwhelming and there's so much going on that I want to do and get in the studio and I've just had to push it aside because it's too much.
Yeah.
I just need to concentrate on the kids. But anyway,
she's a very good mother. That's the thing. So we like to end with two questions.
Yes, darling.
Which are very serious. And the first one is, do you have a favourite artist tool that you use that you couldn't, like if you're going to be put on a desert island somewhere and you were going to paint, do you have a favorite brush or a brand of products that you use, or is there something that is you couldn't live without?
To be honest, I don't think I could live without a pencil.
Nice.
Yes.
Because I can do I can do anything with a pencil. So I think that itself would be what I would
want. Do you have a favourite pencil or do you just don't care?
No, I just don't care. I'm very slap happy with my things. I am not very dedicated to any one particular product.
Nor am I. I don't care too bothered about.
I don't like a 2H.
Oh, no. Can't be doing with a 2H.
No.
But like, I don't mind about brands of pencil, though.
I'm not a brand. I'm not a massive fan of HB.
You're not?
I'd rather the softer.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you reckon?
Yeah.
Or a charcoal pencil.
Yes.
Yeah, charcoal pencils are good.
I'm obsessed with these general charcoal pencils. I absolutely love them. Like, literally, I get through them like no tomorrow.
You have to put that on Instagram. It's like a radio show for you. You keep showing things that people can't see. Look at this lovely painting. Oh, yes, isn't it beautiful?
Listeners, I'm having a nice time with Sharon.
But the next thing we always ask, Sharon, if you could visit a studio of an artist dead or alive, who would you visit?
I'd say definitely William de Kooning. I just love his work. Just love his work.
Oh, yeah.
Or if you're going for a female, let me think. Joan Mitchell would be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
She'd just be amazing as well. I love also Joan Mitchell. She's just so easygoing and just so. She's not very. She's not very. How do you say? Sensitive about her work. She basically just thinks it is what it is.
She doesn't take herself too seriously.
Never. It's just, you know, that's what I do. Get on with it. Love that attitude.
I bet she's not posting on Instagram all the time.
No, none of them would have.
No.
I would have loved to have met Margaret Olley, go to her house and just, you know, have a cup of tea and have a sit with her. You know, just find a chair that you can sit on and... Or maybe just sit on top of all the crap that's everywhere.
I was going to say, I think it was a lot of rubbish in the house, Bea. I don't think there was a chair to sit on.
No, but that's what, I love that, though.
I want to get to that point where you just hoard when you're older.
Well, I'm going to be mad. I can't wait. Like, I'm going to have really bad lipstick.
And a moustache.
And food. Oh, food and sideburn. Food all over me. Oh, it's going to be great. Can't wait.
Anyway, thank you so much, Sharon. That has been
wonderful.
It's my
pleasure, guys. Thanks, guys.
Fabulous. Well, we're very excited and we are looking forward to Never Too Literal.
Yeah, well, we'll try and come if it's all right.
I love you too. So it's going to be in December. I should have the exact dates. I think it's around the 13th of December.
So has everything been pushed or...?
Not at the moment. So I will tell you when. So I haven't got it.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
We'll dust down a little summer frock.
Yeah.
I love that. Definitely.
We'll shave your moustache and we'll be off.
We'll have a bit of a tipple.
Exactly. Yeah, and look forward to seeing all your wonderful work.
Yeah. Well, have plans, Sharon.
Thanks, girls.
We'll see you
soon. Thanks for that. See ya.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.
Please don't forget to rate and review and share this podcast. It helps my mum and her friend Fiona get more listeners. Thank you.